songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, and today's text is 28. Kridasi Amogha Sankalpa Urnanabhir Yathornate Tatha Tad Vishayam Dehi Manisham Mai Madhava. Yeah? Oh, it should be 29. Yeah, I thought something was wrong. But I looked at the board and I saw 20. I said, okay, maybe I made a mistake. Yeah, it should be 29. Yes, you're right. Bhagavaj Chikshitam Aham Karavani Hi Atandritaha Nehamanaha Praja Sargam Bhajayam Yad Anugrahat Bhagavat Shikshitangaham Karavanyat Tatinjitaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayam Yad Anugrahat. Remember, we discussed this. When he, which is normally H-I, changes to H-Y, that means you run it into the next word. If you say it separately, it ruins the meter. That's why it's written like this. When it's he, H-I, in the synonyms, fine. But when it's in the verse and it changes to an H-Y, it indicates that you run that into the next one, into the next word. Bhagavat Shikshitangaham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat. Please chant. Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Neyamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yad Anugrahat. Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat. Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat. Vaishnavins, Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat. Bhagavat Shikshitam Aham Karavani Yatandritaha Nehamanak Praja Sargam Bhajayang Yadanugrahat. Okay, synonyms. Bhagavat, by the personality of Godhead. Shikshitam, taught. Aham, myself. Karavani, by acting. He, certainly. Atandritaha, instrumental. Na, never. Ihamanaha, although acting. Prajasargam, generation of the living entities. Bhajyayam, be conditioned. Yet, as a matter of fact. Anugrahat, by the mercy of. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Please tell me, so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities, without being conditioned by such activities. Please repeat. Please tell me, so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Brahmaji does not want to become a speculator dependent on the strength of his personal knowledge and conditioned to material bondage. Everyone should know in clear consciousness that one is, in the execution of all activities, an instrument. A conditioned soul is instrumental in the hands of the external energy, gunamayi maya, or the illusory energy of the Lord, and in the liberated stage, the living entity is instrumental to the will of the personality of Godhead directly. To be instrumental to the direct will of the Lord is the natural constitutional position of the living entity, whereas to be an instrument in the hands of the illusory energy of the Lord is material bondage for the living entity. In that conditioned state, the living entity speculates on the absolute truth and his different activities. But in the unconditioned stage, the living entity directly receives knowledge from the Lord, and such a liberated soul acts flawlessly without any speculative habit. The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10 and 11, confirms emphatically that the pure devotees who are constantly engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord are directly advised by the Lord, so much so that a devotee unwaveringly makes progress on the path home back to Godhead. Pure devotees of the Lord are therefore not proud of their definite progress, whereas the non-devotee speculator is in the darkness of illusory energy and is very much proud of his misleading knowledge based on speculation without any definite path. What a sentence. Hare Krishna. Lord Brahma wanted to be saved from that pitfall of pride, although he was posted in the most exalted position within the universe. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shmati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachachadishtarine Om Agyana Temirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shnapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyam Vancha Kalpaturubhyasha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is answers by citing the Lord's version. So I was thinking, why specifically point it out in this chapter? Because technically the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is citing the Lord's version. That's what our whole sampradaya is based on. That Krishna either gives instruction directly or that instruction is passed down through an unbroken chain of spiritual masters and disciples. So technically the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is a series of answers by citing the Lord's version. So why is it specifically pointed out in this chapter? Chapter 9 of the second canto. Why is it specifically entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version? So I was kicking around in my head, and usually when I have some philosophical inquiry, I usually call my good friend and God brother Dravida Prabhu. So between the two of us, we couldn't think of any particular specific citation that said why this chapter is given this title. But we came to a general conclusion that it must be because it contains the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam, which are coming up pretty soon. So this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, Krishna is directly giving Brahma the seed of all transcendental knowledge. And from that, it's expanded into what we have in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. So yes, we should be confident that whatever we're getting from this Bhagavatam, not only this ninth chapter, is actually coming from the Lord. Therefore, the Vedic canon, the Vedic literature, is called Aparashaya. It's infallible because it's coming from God Himself. It's not like some people sit down and have some vision and then they write some book or scripture and everybody else thinks, okay, or many people think, yeah, that sounds okay and I'll follow it. It's not like that. It's not some speculation from some philosopher. This is knowledge given directly by the Lord. So in this case, in this chapter, the Lord is going to give Lord Brahma this four seed verses of all knowledge from which all answers can be generated. Because we should have questions. Being in this material world means being in darkness. And we should have questions about our existence, our existential situation. Prabhupada used to glorify Saraswati when she was a child for going up to people, even elder people, and asking them, do you know who Krishna is? And if they say no, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even before we get to the question of who is Krishna, the real question is, who am I? I go around speaking and interacting and giving my opinion, but who am I? People have a right to ask you. Who are you? You say something, you give some opinion, and people have a right to ask you, who are you? And you have a right to ask them, who are you? So this is the beginning of our Bhagavad Gita Museum. First is Srila Prabhupada, Murti, and the explanation of how he brought the Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield. And then the third station is, who are you? Look at yourself. Look at your body. Look at your hands. Are you this hand? Are you this face? This is a question that everybody should be asking. Who am I? And the normal reaction is, they react to what they see in the mirror. So if there's a black face in the mirror, I think I'm black. If there's a white face in the mirror, I think I'm white. But we're not black. We're not white or yellow or brown or anything else. We're not actually male, female, or old, young, fat, thin. None of these bodily designations apply to us. In his class, Narantar quoted that famous verse from Lord Chaitanya. Jivera Swarupahoy. Jivera means of the jiva. Swarupa means your own form. Swa-own rupa form. What is your form? What is your situation? Who are you? Jivera Swarupahoy. Krishnera Nityadas. Krishnera means of Krishna. Nitya means eternal. Dasa means servant. We have a habit of calling each other just by the Krishna name that we've been given, like Satchitanoy or Dira Lalita. But it's actually Satchitanoy Das. Dira Lalita Das. Right? Sometimes we forget that. And somebody says, hey Krishna. And I think, yeah, Krishna. My name is Krishna. No, name is Krishna Das. Or Radharani Dasi. This is the essence of our line, that we very much emphasize that. Always remember that you're a servant. Always remember. And act in that capacity. Not just say, yeah, I'm a servant, but I rebel. Prabhupada said, no. There's that verse from Chanika Pandit that one of the indicators that you should leave home is when your servants talk back. So Prabhupada said in regards to that verse, no, a servant should never talk back. Even if the master chastises, a real servant will be silent and take the chastisement. then the master will be pleased, and then the relationship continues. But as soon as the servant is so puffed up that they start talking back, it's time to leave home. It says, it's time to leave home. Because you have a snake in the house. That's one type of snake. So, yeah, servants should never talk back. That means we have to be trained to revive our original servant mentality. Because for so many lifetimes, we've been conditioned to think that we can be the master. We want to be the master. Nobody wants service or to be a servant. Everybody would like to be a master, have enough money, because in the material world, to have servants means you have to have money to take care of them. Or if you take to the spiritual path, that's a different thing. But on the material platform, if I have money, then I can't have servants, somebody to cut the grass, somebody to wash my clothes, wash the dishes, cook. Everybody wants that position. Who would say no? See? So we're conditioned like that in the material world. I want to be the boss. I want to be the master. Nobody wants to be the servant. But the spiritual path means dasa, dasa, anadas. Dasa, dasa, anadas. The real advanced devotee wants to be the servant of 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 the Lord. That's the real position, actually. We are insignificant. Yesterday, I did a Zoom class along with Narantar Prabhu and Rukmini Rajani with two schools in Palace Verdes. Palace Verdes Peninsula High School and Palace Verdes High School. They're actually two schools within a 20-minute drive of each other. But it's kind of distinguished by how wealthy your family is. Those who are on a kind of a lower scale of wealth, they go to Palace Verdes Peninsula High School. If you go down the 405 and you get up at Hawthorne, and then you keep driving in Hawthorne, it turns into a really steep hill. At the top of that hill, that's where Palace Verdes Peninsula High School is. Palace Verdes High School is right on the coast, ocean views, all expensive mansions around. So that's the distinction between the two schools. The wealthier kids go to Palace Verdes High School, and the not-so-wealthy kids go to Palace Verdes Peninsula High School. So we were talking. We always present the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita. We use that as a starting point for sharing the philosophy. It's a comparative religion class in both schools. And it's amazing that in today's secular atmosphere that they still allow such a class in schools, because, you know, separation of church and state, and nobody wants to be indoctrinated in any kind of religion. But so we always present the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita. So Narantar Prabhu spoke on the Ishvara and Jiva. I spoke on Prakriti and Karma. And Rukmini Rajani presented Kala. And, you know, she's been part of the A-team, the academic team, for some time now. But I was really blown away by her presentation yesterday. Because I always keep them off balance. I never tell them until the last minute what topic they're presenting. That way it doesn't become hackneyed. And so the night before she called and asked me, what am I speaking on tomorrow? I said, Kala. And she put together Kala. She was speaking on Kala, time. She put together such a brilliant presentation on time. I was really blown away. She's very, you know, she's maturing into a very forceful preacher, speaker. But at the same time, she doesn't come across as being dogmatic. You know what I'm saying? You see her on screen, the kids especially. She's young, an attractive young lady. And she doesn't come across as presenting some dogma. Just very, very pukka and supported by quotes from the Gita and whatnot. Very nicely done. And this is the benefit of taking birth in a Vaishnava family and growing up in a Vaishnava community. And that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to, first of all, know who we are. And then we can present to the rest of the world, we can tell them who they are. If we don't know who we are, or say we know who we are, but don't act in that capacity, then how can we convince anybody else to take to the path of Krishna consciousness? They naturally want the superior position. Everybody's working hard to attain the superior position, the master position. Let me make millions of dollars so I can have a big mansion and have servants. I never have to do anything that I don't want to do. Somebody to do all the menial labor. That's the material dream. But the spiritual path is, no matter what my position is, I am willing to do menial service for Krishna. And Prabhupada said he very much appreciated that. In the beginning when he came to the West, and he saw that young American boys and girls, even though they're from wealthy families, they were willing to do anything they were asked to do. Prabhupada said, you won't find this in India. He said, in India, they may be poor, illiterate, but they're because they're in a so-called Brahmana family, they will not, you ask them to wash dishes, even if you're willing to pay them, they don't want to do it. I'm a Brahmana. What kind of Brahmana are you? You don't even know the scriptures. You don't know what is the goal of life. What kind of Brahmana are you? But because they have this title, Brahmana, they won't do certain things. I'm a Brahmana. So Prabhupada very much appreciated that. The young American boys and girls, they would do anything. They may be from wealthy families, but they'll sweep the floor, they'll take out the garbage, they'll do anything. So this is our position. If you know who you are, then you act accordingly. Not according to some designation of being, you know, this title, that title, or we don't care about that. Our motivation should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Radhasami is coming up. We will hear on Sunday, Naikama Prabhu will make a presentation about Radharani. So this is the position. We're all trying to revive our eternal consciousness, a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Radharani, who is the supreme servant of Krishna. Not that we can go to Krishna directly. So in today's verse, that word came up, instrumental. Lord Brahma wanted to be instrumental in generating the progeny. And this is something that is missing from today's culture. People don't understand that. In many cultures still, the parents, especially the father, think, I gave birth to you, so you belong to me, and I can do anything I want with you. Even up to the point of killing you. Still, there are cultures like that. If the daughter dares to marry somebody that the father doesn't approve, he can kill her and kill the so-called husband. And they get away with it. Maybe some slap on the wrist. Because that's their culture. The father is the generator of the children. He owns them. He can do anything he wants with them. That's not the case. Just like Lord Brahma's understanding that he will be instrumental in filling up the universe with progeny. Similarly, when a husband and wife get together, man and woman, and generate a child, they're just instruments. That child, that soul already exists. And based on the karma, is placed in the particular womb of a particular mother to take birth in a particular set of circumstances. It's not by chance. It's not willy-nilly. It's not just that spin the wheel and, you know, whichever womb you come out. No. Karmana Daivanaitrena, Jantur Dehamapati, Sriya Prabhishudra, Pungsak Rita Kanashraya. This is the understanding from the third canto. That by higher authority, karmana, and by your karma, karmana daivanaitrena, jantur dehopate, a particular situation is created for you. You are placed into the womb of a particular mother through the instrument of the father, the seed-giving father. The soul is in the semina, and that's injected into a specific womb out of which you take birth. And yes, depending on the nature of the mother, that's what you're going to look like. If the mother is a dog, then you come out as a puppy. If the mother is a horse, you come out as what they call a foal. And if the mother happens to be human, then you take a human body. But in none of those cases is the father or the mother the source of the child. They're just instrumental. So this is a very important word in today's verse. It's in the translation, and again, Prabhupada repeated it several times in his purport. Instrumental, instrument. So same thing goes for us. While we're doing our service, we should realize that we're just instruments. Sometimes the instrument is used in a wonderful way. Sell 500 books in one day or something like that, and everybody, but that's person who sold those books should know very well, I'm just an instrument. It's very clear, very instrument. First of all, an army marches on its stomach. If you don't feed the book distributors or the pujaris or whomever, you don't get any work. So who's more important, the cook or the pujari? The cook or the book distributor? So everything has to be there. And everybody has to see themselves as an instrument. The cook is an instrument, taking the ingredients which are given by God. You can't make food in a factory. No, just nuts and bolts and plastic parts, that's all. And you can't eat any of those things. So the food is given by Krishna. The knowledge of what to do with the ingredients is given by Krishna. And hopefully the result is offerable to Krishna. And then we take that prasadam and get spiritual and bodily energy to go out and serve Krishna. So in all cases, we're just instruments. And the more we see that, then the more we're inclined to cooperate with each other to please the Lord through His pure devotee. Now, one more point I wanted to make, and it's a point I've made many, many times. where Prabhupada says in this purport that the pure devotees are getting knowledge directly from Krishna. And that's why you can never criticize a pure devotee. It's a great offense. Sometimes even some of Prabhupada's disciples became bewildered in terms of certain things that happened in our society, and they want to turn a critical eye on Prabhupada. Why didn't Prabhupada stop this? Whatever Srila Prabhupada did, as long as you accept him as a pure devotee. If you don't, that's a different story. But you can't say accept somebody like our Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee and then criticize them. That means you're criticizing God. Because whatever they do is exactly what God wants them to do at that particular point in time. Everything they do, even the so-called what we see as mistakes, it's not a mistake because it's what God wanted them to do. It's like criticizing Arjuna for killing his grandfather. That's what Krishna wanted him to do. Normally to kill your grandfather is a heinous crime. And you should be killed many times over. How dare you? But if it's what Krishna wants you to do, then you cannot be criticized. You cannot criticize Arjuna for killing Bhishma Dev. That's what Krishna wanted him to do. So similarly, you can't criticize a pure devotee of the Lord for anything that they do or say. It's what Krishna wants them to do or say. And you just have to try to understand it. Wrap your conditioned mind around it. Don't criticize pure devotees. So it only comes down to that one question. Do you accept this person as a pure devotee? If you do, then criticism goes out the window. You cannot criticize. So we cannot criticize Srila Prabhupada for anything that he did or said. It's exactly what Krishna wanted him to do or say. Okay? So I'll end on that point. If there's any discussion, questions. Yes, such it's annoying. Prabhu. You can just say it. I'll repeat. Sometimes they don't realize the batteries are dead. Anyway, yeah, go ahead. I'll repeat what your question is.
We should just see ourselves as instruments. So while engaged in Krishna consciousness, there are many different activities that we do, beginning from the bhaktas to the top of the GVC, gurus, sannyasis. We all go in one format, how do you say, one understanding. So if we don't follow the orders of the spiritual master or the establishment as it should be, then at that point we will be conditioned, right? We will be conditioned, not liberated. You know, I don't know if I'm explaining it properly. What I'm trying to say is that many things we have seen that happened in our movement by devotees, even being after 30 or 40, 50 years,
yeah,
that they thought they were doing properly.
Yeah, okay, I get the gist of your question. So the point is this. One should never become just on autopilot. No, you should always keep your wits about you. However, our understanding is that once you're connected with a proper sampradaya that goes all the way back to Krishna, any order that comes down that does not break the overriding order, like Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, follow these four principles. So if you have a leader that's not telling you to break any of those vows, then what's the difference? The example I use a lot is if you're washing dishes in the kitchen and the order comes down, you've done a great job, now I want you to go out and distribute books. Why would you argue? Or just the opposite. You're number one book distributor, but the order comes down from the authorities. Now we want you to stay back and learn how to manage the temple. No, I'm number one. No, you do what the authorities decide you should do. And if there's some discrepancy, Krishna will straighten it out. But don't follow an order that breaks your promise. You see, that you shouldn't do. Just like we had in New York. Not that they were ordering, but you know, we know the history. When Mataji there was cooking meat and stuff like that. No. Then you completely lose your authority position if you break any of those principles yourself or try to get anybody else to break the principles. So you have to stay aware of what's happening. But if an order comes down, just because I don't like it, just like now with the mask situation. I'm sitting here without mine just because I'm far from everybody. But the general order in ISKCON is wear a mask, get vaccinated. So devotees have come to me who don't want to do it, and I've explained to them, you're part of an organization that engages in outreach, goes out to the public to distribute books, to chant, harinam, etc. We have to follow the public recommendations in terms of health. We have to. If you get a reputation as being a scofflaw organization, we don't care what the government says, we do whatever we want to do. It's not good for preaching. Prabhupada himself took a couple of vaccines, or took at least one. And somebody says Brahmananda actually took the other one on his behalf. But he took at least one vaccine because it was recommended. So it's like that. Yes, you may have your idea that it's risky, it's this and that, but vaccination is not something new. People have been vaccinated since time immemorial for this disease, that disease, whatever. And there's always a risk in anything. There's certainly a risk in not getting vaccinated. So, you know, we the debate is already over. Most of us here have acquiesced, even though I'm not fond of getting vaccinated. But I took it because, again, for preaching. We're part of a preaching organization. And if I go to a school where their mandate is everybody should be vaccinated, and I show up, well, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna, I don't believe in vaccination. Okay, forget it. Maybe we'll just keep you on the Zoom agenda. So we have to follow those kinds of instructions. That's my point. We have an organization with a structure. And Prabhupada, even while he was here, he was hammering that home. People would come to him with questions. He said, ask your temple president, ask your GBC. Prabhupada didn't want to be bothered with every little question because there is a hierarchy, there's a structure. And we should follow it. That is what it means to surrender. Understanding that over everything and everyone is Krishna. And if Krishna doesn't like a particular direction, believe me, he's quite capable to change that. So if Krishna didn't want us to be vaccinated, he will indicate. But for those reasons, an order that does not break your promise to the Guru Krishna, you should follow. Otherwise, we're again become a society where everybody is their own leader. And that's what Maya wants us to think. You're intelligent. My father said it to me when I joined. You're intelligent, young man. Why do you have to have a guru? Figure it out yourself. No. Lifetime after lifetime, we take that position. I'll figure it out myself, and we keep coming back to this material world. If you want to get out, why not try surrendering and following instructions? Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Let me know. I don't want to announce it.